Thank you. promise that when two or three shall meet, you will be there in their midst, Lord. And we have gathered this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we are believing that you are in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
We lift our hearts to you, Father.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, that we may break through, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord,
the things that draw us back, but that, Father, we may lift our eyes to you and look steadfastly upon the cross this morning. Lord, help us to look, oh God, to see the thing that you have done for us, Lord,
Amen.
To take away from us the things that would have so us away to the enemy, but Father, you have redeemed us, oh God. We thank you, Father. Fill every heart, Lord, this morning. Bless every person, Lord, and the word minister, Lord, Father, to every situation, and bring us to a place that when we leave this place, oh, we will look back and say, did our hearts not burn while you spoke with us, Father? Bless the musicians, Lord. Bless those that are not here with us. Lord, we commit them to you, and we pray for the minister as he brings the word. Father, use him this morning to speak to your children. We are waiting and expecting, Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
More blessings be granted to them, O Lord.
everything there. It will open the gates of heaven to you so that the cup will overflow.
Amen.
We thank you as we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There is one song, Go Be of Good, Be of Good Courage.
Amen.
And there are some things which means are impossible. Amen. Amen. Be of good courage.
Come to Joshua.
Thank you.
that song, I bless your name. Amen. Paul and Silas, bless his name. Difficult time. Maybe you have a difficult time today. Let's bless him.
Amen.
Prison is chained with
grievous stripes.
Yeah.
we've got. And Father, may we always be seeking more of you. That's how to help us to walk with you upon this day. Grant us grace, Lord. Father, praying for them that have traveled via them, dear Brother George. Father, may you bless him and lead him and guide him, Lord. Father, the other requests that are before us, Lord, Brother John Carlos, Lord, we pray for him.
Amen.
Pray that you'd touch him in his body, Lord. Pray that you'd bless him, that you'd raise him up, Lord.
Yes.
That you'd visit him, Father. Have mercy upon him, Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Father, for Brother Vladimir and his families that travel this week, Lord, I pray that you'll bless them. Pray that you'll keep them safe.
Amen.
Pray, Father, that you'd watch over them there, Lord. May they be a blessing to their parents.
Amen.
And to, Father, the people that they see, the people that they meet up with, Lord.
Amen.
Father, may you please be with them from the beginning right until the end, Lord.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the good things that you do. Thank you, Father, that you're ever at work. Father, be glorified, Lord. We continue to pray. Glorify your name. Draw us unto yourself. Help us to hide ourselves in you.
Amen.
Father, let us decrease. Let you increase.
Amen.
Father, let there be a yielding. Let there be a surrender in the lives of every one of us, even at this time.
Amen.
In the presence of your great word.
Yes.
Father, Lord, your great unction. Lord, just to submit ourselves unto thee, that you have the preeminence. That you be glorified. Bless your people to the north and the south, the east and the west, Lord. Some haven't come because of the weather. Would you pray for them, Lord? Father,
Amen.
Bless them as well.
Yes.
Father, Lord, draw nigh unto them where they are. Father, and your people that have gathered at Banbridge, Lord, bless them. Father, Belfast, bless them.
Amen.
Brother, bless him. Bless the saints down that side. Brother Christian, I pray your special blessing upon him. Brother John, bless
him. Amen.
Bless your people this day, we pray.
Yes.
Father, we just want to humble ourselves now and say, Lord, come, pass our way once again.
Amen.
Pass us, Lord, our gentle Savior.
Oh,
hear
yes.
our humble cry.
Amen.
Pass us, Lord, we pray. Bless us, we ask. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saints, God bless you this morning. Hope that everyone is well. Sister Becky is saying she wants to thank God for keeping William for 7 years.
Amen.
It's his birthday today. So
Amen.
It's a lot of birthdays at this time. May the Lord bless each person who's had their birthdays. May the Lord protect him for many more years.
Amen.
That's a desire. Then also a thanksgiving, Brother Wilmore. I'd like to thank the Lord for preserving our marriage 11 years today.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm still going strong.
Amen.
Glory to be. Please remember Sister Julie. She's starting exams this week. We've already prayed for Brother John Carlos. Let's remember Sister Nachiza in prayer. She's writing exams this week. Brother Daniel's thanking the Lord for a new job.
Amen.
God bless him for that. And Brother Vlad, as we pray, is praying with his family back here this week. So may the Lord be with them. Let's open the book of Esther, saints. Let's open the scriptures. Where would we be without the messenger of God? That's a question I always ask myself. And if you don't ask yourself that question, it means you're just not getting into the message of God.
Amen.
Honestly, you can't get into the message of Yahweh and not thank God on a daily basis for the message of God. You can't see what's happening in this world and not appreciate the grace that God has sent to us. You know, the problem is we get used to it, like the prophet said, like the man going down to the sea. And he wanted to see the sea, and he wanted to smell the salty air, because he had read about it all his life. And he met the old sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And the old sailor was coming from the sea, and the man says, why are you looking so happy? He says, I'm going to see the sea.
Yeah.
I've always read about it, you know, read about the smell, and the waves, and all that. And the old man said, I don't see anything exciting about it. I was born in it, and I've lived in it all my life.
Hmm.
The prophet says, and he says, we've got to be careful. We don't get used to these things.
That's right.
That's why we should always try to keep a spiritual reality. And when you fellowship with people in the world, you know, if you're dealing with people, it should really make you appreciate the things of God. Because you see what the devil does to others, and how the Lord has put a hedge of protection around us.
Amen.
We really should appreciate him for those things. Esther chapter 2. Let's read from verse 12. This is when Esther was called to come in before the king, and she was chosen as queen. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the woman. For so were the days of their purification accomplished. To wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the woman. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the woman unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the woman, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except for the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the woman, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, unto his house royal, in the 10th month, which is in the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Mm-hmm. Now we know the 7 tenths of the Bible. Mm. 7 10 is always redemption. Mm. The Day of Atonement was the 10th day of the 7th month, the Jubilee, the 10th day of the 7th month. Revelation 10:7 is the full revelation of redemption. So Amen. She was brought in before the king in the 10th month in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. It's a wonderful story. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessing that is upon your word.
Amen.
Father, minister us into that place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's be seated, thanks. But the thing which I really love from that story of Esther there is in verse 15, when she required nothing. She required nothing, it says, but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the woman, appointed.
Mm.
You know, and that's a real, real type of the bride. And we need to really realize that we have received headship.
Mm.
That we've received real headship once again in this age. There's been such a restoration of headship. You know, and I really do believe that when you come under headship of any kind, if you're under godly headship, it'll put you at rest. Because you don't have to make all the big decisions for yourself. You don't have to try to crack your head to understand this, that, and the other. Because you have headship, and headship's going to lead you and show you what it is that you have to do. And that was Esther's secret. Is she just submitted herself. The king had called her. She had received this royal invitation. So when she was called now, it was now the king's responsibility to prepare her, because before these virgins came in before the king now appointed them leadership, headship first of all, and appointed them certain things for their purification. You know, and you can read it, it's really interesting, because all these other virgins, they chose things for themselves. And they looked and they thought, let's dress ourselves like this, let's put on all this jewelry, you know, let's paint ourselves, whatever that they did, all of their customs and traditions that they followed, thinking, no, this is how we're going to obtain favor from the king. But Esther was wise.
Amen.
She knew this man here, Haggai, has been in the presence of the king.
Amen.
So many Amen. Times. Amen. I don't need to worry about how I'm supposed to dress, what I'm supposed to
Amen.
All I
Amen.
Need to do is ask this man. So she asked him and said, you've been in the presence of the king so many times. You know how he likes
Amen.
People.
Amen.
You know
Amen.
How he likes people to present themselves. And she took, when she went before the king, only that which Haggai gave her to take.
Amen.
The customs or the other things and friends. That is the real key to a belief.
Amen.
When you realize that it's God's responsibility to clothe his bride. You know, it's not the responsibility of a person. In the old days, when the Hebrew weddings, it wasn't the responsibility of the bride. When she was at home, she's betrothed, taking a year now, the husband's gone, the future husband's preparing the home, and so forth. She's now engaged to the man. It wasn't her responsibility to worry about the wedding dress. It was the responsibility of the bridegroom. That was his responsibility, to make sure that his bride was dressed the way that he designed on the wedding day. She didn't have to use all of her. I'm sure she had her input. Him being a good man that he was, he'd always ask her what she desired, what was in her heart. But it was his responsibility to clothe his bride. So she didn't have to worry to say, where am I going to get the money from? Maybe I'm not going to have enough money to buy the kind of dress that's going to be pleasing to my husband and so forth. But everything which was required, it was the husband's responsibility to minister it now to his bride.
Amen.
And friend, that is the real, real secret of the message of the hour. If you understand that the Lord now has sent the message of the hour to do what? So that the bride can make herself ready.
Amen.
You know, so he's given us all the resources. He's given us the revelation. But he's given us all the spiritual inheritance, all the spiritual riches that we need, stored up in the message of the hour. And all that he's waiting for now is for us to use those things to make ourselves ready.
Amen. Amen.
He says it in blasphemous names. He says, now, just maybe to balance things a little bit here before we get on to speaking about dress in any way. You know, because if you're not careful, we can't be like the Pharisees. No, the Pharisees, they dressed perfectly. No, they dressed exactly according to the law of Moses. They wouldn't do anything which was in the law. But they still didn't have what it took. You know, because a person can be outwardly dressed in the right way, can be outwardly righteous in keeping of the law, paying tithes, all those kind of things, and still not be what God wants them to be. Because Jesus looked at those Pharisees and he dismissed them. Yeah? And he refused their worship because what they were doing was only on the outside.
Amen.
Whereas the outside is supposed to be a reflection of what's on the inside.
That's right.
So it's good to do these outward things. It's good for us to focus on these things once again. But never lose sight of the fact that a sister can dress perfectly well and still not be a modest sister.
Amen.
The Bible says a woman should dress in modest apparel. Yeah. What is to be modest? Modesty is not just so much the outward of somebody. Someone can dress so perfectly on the outside and still attract men because they've still got a worldly spirit.
That's right.
So the real, real clothing that the Lord is looking for is on the inside.
Amen.
And when things are right on the inside, you spiritually dress properly.
Hallelujah.
Then you find that's going to now start reflecting itself in the outside as well.
Amen.
You know, so it's got to be a spiritual dress. That's why it says in blasphemous, when he gives me the Holy Ghost, what does it do? He sets you out in a separate place to yourself. That's when you are sealed in the kingdom. It's a mark of separation.
Yes.
And you've been separated. There's something different about you. You don't have to be strange. You don't have to try to act different than other people. It's just natural that you're going to be different because you're born of another kingdom.
Amen.
Another headship. You know, your affections are set in a different realm. You're a citizen of a different kingdom. So it says, you're a different person. You're not of the world anymore, see? You clothe differently. You dress differently. It says, not this outside dress. You don't have to be odd and peculiar and turn your collar around and long ceremony like that. No, you don't do that. It says, it's the spiritual dress that counts. The wedding garment has been put on.
Amen.
Now, friends, the wedding garment is in the message of the hour.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, you'll find in those days of, if you read the how marriages were held in days gone by, you would find if you, like in Africa, you find it in a sense. But if you wanted to marry a girl, you wouldn't just go yourself. You'd get your friend, the friend of the bridegroom. And he would be sent. He would be the go-between, and he would go now and speak to the girl and speak to the parents and find out their requirements and so forth. And then he would come back to you as the prospective bridegroom. You know, then even when you now came to the engagement, in the 1 year between the time you engaged and the time that you had the official wedding ceremony, that friend of the bridegroom would be going backwards and forwards. You're telling the needs of the bride, look, I need this, that, and the other. And then the bridegroom would now minister those things to the friend of the bridegroom. He would take them to the bride. You know, then he would be bringing information now, the things that she needed to know as well. So that friend of the bridegroom was a very, very important part of the whole marriage.
Amen.
He wasn't the one that anybody was marrying, but he was the one that was keeping things going. The same what the bridegroom wanted, going back with the needs of the bride and so forth. Yeah, and that is what the message really is on every age. Now Jesus says that John was the friend of the bridegroom. He calls him that. Now John was the one that came to mediate between the bride and the bridegroom to make her ready just before Jesus came. Yeah, and so the same as the prophet in our age. The prophet was the friend of the bridegroom. And he was the one now to come to tell the bride, to minister to the bride. He would go back now, the bridegroom would give him all these resources, everything that was required now to prepare the bride for the wedding feast, for the marriage supper of God. That was now the responsibility, like Haggai had over Esther. He had that responsibility for the purification of the woman, now to prepare them, to give the things that were required. But there weren't many people who wanted to listen to Haggai.
Mm.
It was only Esther who wanted to listen to Haggai in that age.
Mm.
The rest of those women thought they knew better than Haggai.
That's right.
And they thought they knew how to please the king better than this man who was the one that was commissioned and qualified to show them exactly what it was to please the king.
Mm.
You know, so you just go between, you know, the message of the hour and the messenger. You find everything the bride needs is going to come through that message.
That's right.
Because the bridegroom sends this friend of the bridegroom, commissions him to go and get me a bride.
Mm.
Go and prepare this bride for me. And the prophet says, if I can only get her to stand still clothed long enough, I'll clothe in the garments of the word.
Amen.
You know, so it's a spiritual dress that comes through the word, that comes through this revelation that he brings.
Mm.
And that's what he's speaking about. He says it's the spiritual dress that counts. The wedding garment has been put on you. And we know the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
This is what he says, if I can find this quote, when he speaks about the wedding garment. Now he speaks about in things that are to be. He says in Matthew 22, we know there was a man who went into the wedding feast, and he didn't have the wedding garment. Yeah? And so then when the bridegroom came, he looked at him and said, friend, how did you get in here? How come you don't have the wedding garment like the rest of the people? And it says, and the man was speechless. Then the king said, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The prophet says, there he found a man in there with the wedding garment, without the wedding garment on. Because he wanted to hold on to his old coat.
Amen.
Because the way it worked in those days, when you came to a wedding, because the bridegroom wanted everyone to feel at home, whether you're rich or poor, when you came to the door, there was a man commissioned at the door to give everybody a wedding garment.
Amen.
And you would put this robe on and you would go in now to the wedding with this wedding garment that had been commissioned and provided now by the bridegroom himself. So everybody would be the same inside of there. And now here was a man that somehow had bypassed that. He didn't want to go, the provider that should come to the door. We know who the door is.
Mm.
But standing in the door, there was this servant that was commissioned now to make sure everybody was clothed correctly to come in now to the feast.
Mm.
And friend, this man thought, I don't need this man in his garment. You know, I can go with my own garment. I can go with my own garment and I can choose the way that I want to dress. I can choose the way that I want to be inside of the wedding. But unfortunately, that was fine until the bridegroom came. And when the bridegroom came and said, my friend, you are not dressed right for the wedding. How did you get in here? Why didn't you get what I had? The man outside of there was going to minister you into. But friends, that's where reasoning comes in. That's when we follow our own understanding. That's when you want to do it our own way, want to follow other people and look at other examples and other patterns. We'll find ourselves in that kind of a condition. Because it's not to them that are wise.
Mm.
That's not what this is all about. It's not
that's
to
right.
us who know a lot of things. It's to those people that can hear.
Amen.
It's to those people that can just yield themselves
Hallelujah.
To the revelation that comes. That's all that a believer needs to go through.
Mm.
So the prophet says that, he says, friend, after I invited you to my wedding supper, I invited you, I gave you an invitation to come. Hey, friend, that's a serious thing. You sit in a message church. He gives you the invitation to come. But there's requirements. The bride has to make herself ready. Those going into the wedding feast have to make themselves ready. They have to take the things that have been provided for them. You didn't have to go to the feast and go and hunt and say, if I go to the wedding, where am I going to find this garment? My Lord. The same one that gave you the invitation is the same one that will give you the wedding garment.
Amen.
If you have just come through the door, if you have just come the provided way, the wedding garment comes, You just follow that invitation through to its natural result. He's going to minister the wedding garment onto you. But firstly, the wedding garment, it's a spiritual wedding garment.
Amen.
Yes. If you think about the spiritual dress, like he says it's the spiritual dress that counts. This is what the prophet in a prayer line, and God has a provided way. He's standing there, this man comes before him. I've quoted this one before. And he says, 1954, God has a provided way. He says, how do you serve? Was you one of the standers a few minutes ago? He had just had an altar call a few minutes before and asked, anybody wants to receive the Lord, stand to your feet. And this man had stood to his feet. And friends, sometimes, like I say, people think that's not a serious thing. But if you sincere in your heart, if the Lord is issuing an invitation to you,
amen.
If the Lord is dealing with your heart, and then somebody says to you, raise your hand, or somebody says to you, stand to your feet, and you with all sincerity inside of your heart, I want you to receive the Lord, or receive something from the Lord, and you stand to your feet, that simple act of obedience, when you put up your hand, that simple act of obedience, something takes place in the heavenly realm. Because this man now, the invitation came, and the prophet was under the unction, gave the invitation. God had been dealing with the heart of this man as a sinner. And then the prophet says, everyone who wants to receive Christ, stand to your feet. A few minutes later, the man comes in the prayer line wanting prayer because he's sick. As he stands before the prophet picks it up straight away and says, were you one of the standers a few minutes ago? I see it's still light around you. You accepted
Amen.
Christ as your personal Savior. Friends, he was clothed this man. Just in that simple act there, he was clothed with what? With the garments of salvation.
Amen.
That's the first thing you've got to be clothed with. Is you've got to be clothed with the garments of salvation.
Amen.
Let's read in Isaiah 61 verse 10.
Amen.
This is what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 61 verse 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
As a bridegroom taketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Amen. You know, so in the Old Testament, they used to dress up and they used to put all those things on themselves, all those fringes and borders and tassels and all the jewelry they used to put in. Sometimes people look back and say, but you know, those days they can't, you see, Eliezer went and he put earrings onto to Rebecca. But that was all a natural type of a spiritual something.
Amen.
When he went and clothed her, when he went with those camels, took all the goods of his master, all of those things were going to be ministered to her to bring her back in an acceptable way so she could come into the presence
Amen.
Of Isaac in an acceptable way. And the prophet, you know, he opened his Bible that day and says, Lord, surely there's someone in here that answers to my case.
Mm.
And he opened it straight away to Eliezer. Go and find me a bride.
Amen.
He says, that's exactly the evening time message. So all of those natural things of giving garments and chains and gold and silver, it's all a type of the spiritual riches, spiritual inheritance that has been ministered in our age through our Eliezer.
Amen.
Our friend of the bridegroom, our one that was commissioned by our Isaac. And he came with those 10 great camels of power. You know, the first pull, second pull, third pull, the manifestation, the demonstration that he was who he said he was, a man coming from Abraham, such a great man who had such a great inheritance. That was all the vindication of Eliezer's commission.
Amen.
When she saw him come, imagine if Eliezer had just come there in a little donkey. Yeah, and he had all his dirty clothes with patches on the side, and then he came and met Rebecca and says, you know, my master's so great. You know, he's looking for a bride. Would you like to come? She was had a second serious suspicion about the man. But when she saw these camels, when she saw this raiment and these jewels and these riches, and when he took off it, it cost a lot of money if you go and see that bracelet that he put upon her when he first met her. He took a certain bracelet and he put it on her. That cost thousands of dollars if you go see it today's price. That wasn't something cheap. And when she saw that, she said, this is something serious. Hey, this man is not not just saying words this morning, but he's got something to back up what he says.
Amen.
And that's why she was willing now to follow the man to a place she had never been, to meet a man that she had just heard of through the message that this man was bringing. But it really spoke, because the angel came and prepared her for that, the visitation of the of Eliezer, the things that he ministered, this all just worked together to bring her back to the place that she was commissioned to be. You know, so those things, we see them in the Old Testament. They're all a type.
That's right.
Shadow and a type, just as much as the tabernacle, you are the temple of the Lord.
Amen.
Just as much as they offer incense, that's a type of prayer. We offer prayer before you, His throne. So, you know, all of these things, these are the garments of salvation. And this man was just standing there. Listen, man, leading of the Spirit, candles burning. The prophet says, now, I want to talk to you, lady. You're conscious, you're in the presence of something besides your brother. A feeling of knowing there's something near you. She's in the presence. Christian. I can see you're a Christian. It's turning real light around you.
Mm.
And for that's exactly what Paul said. Paul says, let us put on the armor of light.
Amen.
No, we are children of the light. When you really receive Christ, when the Holy Ghost comes inside of your soul, and you really receive salvation, that is as real as a transaction as anything else in this world.
Amen.
Just as much as if you went into the tailor, took off your old dirty clothes, took something and put it on, and you walked out of there different on the outside.
Mm.
When a person accepts Christ, when a person repents of their sin, there's a transaction that takes place.
Amen.
Amen.
This darkness leaves a person.
That's right.
This light that comes and clothes that person from that day forth. That's the robes of righteousness. That's the garments of salvation. Now, my friend, we can dress all perfectly on the outside, but if you don't have that right on the inside, what good that does it do? We're just hypocrites like the Pharisees.
That's true.
And we've got to get it right on the inside first. That's what he says, it's turning real light. That means your spirit is a welcoming spirit.
Mm. Amen.
You're not a critic. You've come for help.
Amen.
When you get to the word, when you get to the message of the hour, what kind of spirit do you have?
Mm.
Are you always wrestling with that word? Are you always fighting against the word? Are you always, I wish you never had said that. I don't know why the prophet says this about a hair. I don't know why he says a woman has to dress like this. Why couldn't we just dress the way that we want, my friend? And we might as well even speak to you about dress.
That's right.
You know, about the outward dress. We need to speak to you about the inward dress first.
Amen. Amen.
Because you've got to receive a welcoming spirit first.
Hallelujah.
And that's what Esther had. She had a welcoming spirit.
Amen.
Remember the rest of those women there, they came and, yeah, who's this Hagar? Who's this eunuch? We need to listen to a man like this. What does he know about women? What does he know? He was commissioned by the king.
That's Amen.
Yeah, the king had chosen him specifically. There was something the king saw inside of this man that knew, this is exactly the type of man that I need to put between me and the one that's going to become my bride.
Mm. Amen.
And it was only Esther had a welcoming spirit.
Amen.
She had a welcoming spirit. No, when she met Hagar, she had something just inside of her. She had a spiritual discernment to know that this man's very important to me. This isn't just an ordinary man. Just as much as my life's taken a turn, I've got this commission, maybe even against my will, I don't even know why I'm here. But something inside of me tells me, listen carefully to what this man has to say.
Amen.
And she was the only one. There were so many virgins there.
Mm.
But she was the only one of the virgins that had that welcoming spirit towards Hagar.
Amen.
And no matter how much she had dressed before, no matter how she had done her hair before, no matter how much she had done those things before, she realized, if I'm going to be accepted in the presence of the king, I've got to listen to this man. And then the reasoning she laid it aside, she laid herself as a living sacrifice upon the altar, and he came now, and he clothed her. He prepared her in a way that when she went in before the king, it was over. The king said, don't bring any more virgins anymore.
Amen.
There was something different with her. And friends, that's the bride. That's what
Amen.
The bride is. That's why this message will not be accepted by everybody.
Amen.
And when we speak about these kind of things, when you say, the husband is the head of the home, my friend, find the spirit of feminism rises up in some of
you. Amen.
Me, listen to that man. And that's why the book of Esther is very good, because the very first chapter goes to show us Vashti. There was a smart aleck of a Laodicean woman. There was a woman that it doesn't matter what the king says, I'll come when I want. If I don't want to come, you go and tell the king I'm not coming. Hey, if you watch those films like One Night with the King and so forth, and you see those soldiers and that they can't come. Your presence is required before the king. Me? Come before the king. What does he want me there for? If he wants me, tell him to come and get me himself. And you'll see those soldiers, they're scared to say, hey. She doesn't realize that very shortly she's not going to have that head on those pretty shoulders anymore.
That's right.
But she doesn't realize the importance of her friend. That's a real type of the religion of this age.
Amen.
Religious, wanting all the benefits from the king, but no submission to the king. And the real test of it was Hagar. Hagar was now the one who made the difference. And now Esther, she realized that, no, this is God's grace to me. I don't have to think about these things. I don't have to crack my head about how to dress and how to do my hair. All these kind of things. And look at all these other women inside of there, they're panicking and they're, if you watch that One Night with the King, and they're putting all these gold things on their neck and, you know, loading themselves down so they can hardly walk with all this outward adorning that the Bible says. Thinking that it's the outward adorning that's going to catch the heart of the king. Friend, that's not the type of king that he was.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says the inward adorning.
Hallelujah.
The spirit of meekness. That's something, that femininity inside of a woman. That great element that fights in Satan fights so much against in this area. The spirit of femininity. For a woman to be a woman and for a man to be a man, that's the great assault that's taking place. That's right. You can keep yourself in that place. Fashioned up in the presence of the Most High. To keep that spirit inside of you original, the way that God wants it to be. That's really what God is looking for.
Amen.
You know, so, you start off with these spiritual garments. You start off with the garments of salvation, the robes of righteousness. But if you continue walking with the Lord, he now wants to clothe you in the garments of ministry. Like you would take the priests and you clothe them now, Moses, you wash them and anointed them and put on the priestly garments now. You know, so they could now enter into the sanctuary itself. Not just out there at the brazen altar where you've received salvation. No, you received his righteousness. But now you keep walking with him. He's going to clothe you even further.
Amen.
He's going to clothe you with the garments of your ministry. And that's what the prophet says. He says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're not receiving salvation. You're receiving power for service.
Hallelujah.
He's going to clothe you with this supernatural power. So what he's ordained that soul of yours to manifest, that seed of his inside of yours, he's now putting that quickening power inside of the seed. So you will start now to manifest what you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Those are the garments now of service that now you clothe and you can enter into the sanctuary. You can walk in the light of the candlestick. You can offer the incense. You can eat of the showbread. That's not everybody is allowed to go inside of there, those people out there, but you've been clothed and ministered and anointed to go into a deeper realm with him.
Amen.
And then the final garment that you're wanting is the robe of adoption.
Amen.
When you've walked with him, he's tested you. And you've been put to the test, reaction to an action, time and time again. And he says, do you love me more than you love your son Isaac? Are you willing to lay your son Isaac on the altar? And he puts through all of these kind of things like he did to Jesus. Like he did to David. And then becomes the public ceremony one day. Like Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. When he was standing there, all of a sudden there was a supernatural something shone forth from within. And all of a sudden his garment became dazzling white as snow. And something supernatural shone forth, and a voice came and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Friends, that's really what you want. And that's 1963. Mount Sunset. This is my beloved son.
Amen.
And there's a spiritual difference that comes. Because, friends, every time in the Bible you'll find that that clothing represents something, both in the negative and in the positive. Whenever you find someone's condition changed or the status changes in the Bible, you find there's a change of clothing.
That's right.
You find the prodigal son. How does he start off when things are well between him and his father? He's clothed well. His father's given him his clothes. He's with the master's son. He's not going to be clothed in rags. He's clothed very, very well. But when he makes the wrong decision and takes himself out of the presence of his father, how is he clothed when he get down to that seventh step, like Brother Yatsek was showing us, the seven steps? He's clothed in rags. Filthy rags. He's dirt. He's got no shoes on his feet. Can you see the change of status is reflected in the change of clothing? Then when he comes to himself and he returns to his father and he repents and there's reconciliation, what happens? There's a change of
Amen.
He
says, bring the best robe and put it on my son, put shoes on his feet. So you'll always find if you watch people long enough, what's on the inside is reflected by what's on the outside.
Amen.
That's why you find those defectors and rejecters of the message. Yeah, in America, you believe the sign, so-called. What is the first thing they did? The first thing those women did was put on trial. Cut their hair. It was a show, a change of status.
That's right.
Spiritually, they'd fallen low. And immediately, it was reflected on the outside.
That's right.
Now you might try to keep those fig leaves green for a while, but they're going to dry up just after a couple of days. Now you will say, we're having a great revival ever since we left that message. Yeah, where are they now? You're going to find out it's a pitiful story. But it shows those sisters, many of them walked for years in the message, dressing according to the standards of the message, keeping their hair according to the standards of the word, but they weren't clothed properly inside.
Amen. Right.
And it's find you out in the end. It might take 30 years, but it's going to find you out one day.
Right. Amen.
You've got to make sure it's right on the inside, the prophet.
Amen.
Spiritual dressing, get that right first. Then you'll find the scripture that says, the commandments of the Lord
Hallelujah.
Are not grievous to his children.
Amen.
It's not grievous to a son or daughter of God. For you to tell me not to put on my old big sister society short trousers anymore and run around showing my knobbly knees. I don't want to show my legs to anybody anymore.
Amen.
Those days when you used to run around on a football pitch, kicking around a piece of leather and getting so excited about those things. It doesn't excite you anymore.
Amen.
Yes, there's other things that excite you.
Hallelujah.
And things that excite you, people coming to the Lord. It's spiritual testimonies of what God is doing. It's
Amen.
A revelation of the word. It's when the Lord makes something real to
Hallelujah.
You. That's the thing that makes life real to you now.
Amen.
Looking forward to a meeting, looking forward to fellowship,
Amen.
Looking forward to something spiritual that's to come. But friends, we can't fake these things.
That's true.
Let's be honest with ourselves. If it's not there, if you're struggling with dress code, don't worry about the dress code so much. Go to the spiritual dress code.
Amen.
Amen.
Something's wrong here. There's a spiritual deficiency inside of me. Why do I find these commandments grievous? Why are these things hard for me? When God is trying to clothe you, when God is trying to hide your nakedness, when God is trying to protect you from sinning against men by causing them to lust after you,
Amen.
And you get grieved by that. And you say, this is a prison house.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a castle wall. This is a defense. This is
Hallelujah.
A wall. But depending on the spiritual condition of a person, if you find the message of the hour is just restricting, this is just confining, I can't take this anymore. I can take a lot more than I've already got, I'm going to be honest. If you ask me, can you take some more? I haven't taken enough yet.
Amen.
If only you can give me more.
Amen.
And any believer's going to be like that. And that's why you'll find that legion, what happened to him? At one time he used to dress himself like the rest of the people in,
that's right.
in the village. And then he allowed a demon to come inside of him. And that demon had called all of his friends. And this man had a legion of demons inside of him. He was so subject to darkness. He was insane. What's the first thing he does? He takes off his coat. See what the devil does? The devil uncovers people.
That's right.
That's our topic. The uncover. The devil uncovers people, both spiritually. Don't be spiritually naked. Like Laodicea, you say you are rich. You don't know you're poor and you're naked. That's what the devil does, friends. He uncovers people. But the moment Legion came into the presence of the Son of Man, what happened? The Bible says they found him sitting in his right mind, clothed at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
That's how when somebody can go and put on those clothes and show up their belly buttons and walk around in the town like at miniskirts and all these kind of things, yeah? Showing up their body. And they say that they've got Christ living inside.
No.
Your very outward apparel betrays what's happening inside.
Amen.
That you don't have the spiritual dress that you're supposed to have. If you can walk out there and just display yourself, even when it's cold like this, and you get on the streets and you see those girls going to their Christmas, whatever it is that it is, and their skirts will be here, and they'll be in those high heel shoes, and you'll see them with some little garment like this, and it's -2 degrees at night. Friend, there's something spiritual taking place.
That's right.
Amen.
They're having some spiritual experience. Just as much as George Washington could go and pray all night in the snow. Why? He was in the spirit. He
Amen.
Didn't feel the cold.
Amen.
These people are also in the spirit in the other dimension.
That's right.
But they're so much in the spirit of what they're doing. And you know, they're so... Friend, it's a sad thing to say.
Amen.
But then people look at us and say, shit. They try to subjugate the woman. No one subjugates the woman.
That's right.
But Satan, who takes people into a bondage, a spiritual bondage, that's the sad thing. This is what he says in Shalom, as we get to the point. You know this quote, I wanted to read it in a little bit more detail. When he speaks about the gross darkness of many people, he says, now the prophet said, gross darkness upon this people. Have you noticed in the last few years, some of you men and women around my age, how that each year, it seems like the darkness comes more and more. I was speaking the other day to my wife, saying it to my wife. I've noticed among men. Now, he's going to show this gross darkness the Bible said will be here. And he's going to show how do we see the manifestation of this gross darkness. It's going to manifest itself in different ways.
Amen.
I've noticed among men. Look out on the streets and among the women. Watch their desires and what they like to do. And they're changing attitudes all the time. My friend, the moment you allow darkness to come in, the moment you fellowship with darkness, the first thing that starts to change is your attitude.
Amen.
Before there's an outward change, there's an inward change.
That's true.
As we say about backsliding, that's backsliding at heart. You can still sit there in church every service. You can still
Amen.
Put your hand up. You can still do all the outward mannerisms. Let your heart be far from good.
Amen.
Because it's always an inward separation first.
That's right.
There's an inward backsliding first. And maybe sometimes it can take months before it starts to manifest outwardly. Someone's attitude can change and you can keep it inside. It's like someone can be sitting and be very sick and not even know that they're sick. There's some infirmity at work inside of their body. And outwardly, when we look, we don't even see any difference. Sometimes it takes quite some time for that disease to progress to quite an advanced stage before
Amen.
It becomes apparent outwardly. That's how you find somebody backslide. I'm not coming to church again. That didn't start yesterday.
That's right.
That started some time. There's a from that time. There was something that came in that wasn't dealt with. That there was something that allowed to fester. Something they never took to the great physician so that he could put the balm of Gilead on that particular aspect of their life. You know, and that darkness now starts to accumulate inside of the life of a person. And then the person now, they start, the way they had a chicken, they start looking at people differently. Before, someone used to come and rejoice at the preaching of the word. Now what do they do? Now they think he's speaking about the word. He said that he loves me. He's blasting me up all the time. It's a change of attitude. It's not
right.
There's a darkness that they've allowed to come in out of that spiritual realm. And there's a darkness now that's fellowshipping with them. And they're fellowshipping with that darkness. When they're lying on their bed at night, it's just them in the darkness.
Amen.
And those dark thoughts are coming. Now the negativity, the prophecies are already positive.
Amen.
God doesn't have depression today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God's not worrying about the future.
No.
Jesus said, we should lie. He says,
amen.
Thought for tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
This is after these things to the unbelievers, the heathens.
Right.
That you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
Amen.
As that you start fellowshipping in that darkness. And friends, be careful because it can take you so far. It'll take you far further than you ever expected to take you. It'll take you spiritually far from God. Far from his people. And then it'll end up taking you naturally far from his people. You find someone else start to think, I think I'm going to live in Oman. See, there's a job in Saudi Arabia. And a person will choose a place where it's impossible to find fellowship.
Amen.
You'll be in a place you can't even have a Bible unless you smuggle it in. But that is where darkness takes to, my friend.
That's true.
And to you, as you just fellowshipping with those dark thoughts, that influence that you've allowed inside of your life, you'll think it's normal. Yeah. But you'll be like Legion. You'll be like the prodigal son. You'll be beside yourself. Because Satan's dimension is a dimension of insanity. And when you allow it to come in too much, you'll end up thinking in a way that when people look and say, you're mad. That's not normal for a person to think like that. Just as much as we can say, it's not normal for a person to dress like that. It's not normal for a woman to do her hair like that. How can someone cut off all their painted blue? How can someone do that? Well, you're already there. You find those old ladies, you find them. Cut all the hair and put it pink. What's the sign of?
That's right.
There's a darkness that's coming. And the darkness on the inside. And that's why you find now these, what do they call these guys who dress all in black and they make their faces?
Goths.
The goths. Friend, the outside proves 100% what's on the inside.
Amen.
They even look like the devil on the outside. Yeah, they probably said that in my messenger. I was listening to the other day when he said that this woman came in. She came into the room, the meeting, and she had her hair done in a certain way. No, she, I think it was in a restaurant, and she had all those canes on her face. We read the thing before, and he said, go back, Boogerman, I'll be good. It's like it's your nightmares walked into the room. But that's as far as the devil really wants to take people. So it says, firstly, it's a change in attitude. Now, what does it come to next? Man are becoming more like woman. Friend, Satan wants to attack and pervert the original.
That's right.
In the beginning, a man was a man and a woman was a woman.
Amen.
But look at this generation of sissies that we've got now.
Amen.
Look at the boys. Look at the boys.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad sometimes up in Northern Ireland they've still got some country folk and the farmers and the digger drivers. Some of the men that still have some masculinity. Yet you find these guys here wearing their little socks that show their ankles and their stone pipes, whatever they call.
Skinnies.
Yeah, skinnies. And you see the hair coming down over the eyes like that. And friend, if somebody's a boo to them, they go around.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But what is it the prophet's going to show us here? It's gross darkness.
That's right. Amen.
They've allowed the darkness to come. God never made them like that.
No.
God never made a man to be like, be effeminate like that. That person at some stage has fellowshipped with somebody else. You know, been influenced by somebody, and they've yielded to that darkness. And they've allowed that darkness to come in, and now not only in their fashion, not only in their dress, but even in their very demeanor, the way they are, you find that darkness now starts to express itself in someone being effeminate. Being effeminate is a big thing.
Amen.
That's right.
And he says, men are becoming more like women, and women are becoming more like men. So this is the gross darkness.
That's right.
That's where you find a woman shouting at her husband, bossing people around. You find Hillary Clinton now, she wants to be the president of America. God never wanted a woman in politics.
Amen.
You know, according to God, He didn't even want women to vote.
Amen.
God didn't even want women to vote. The prophet says when the Lord showed him those visions, I'll read you that quote. He says, God showed me that when women fought to win the right to vote, they got out of their place. And now they get into all these jobs, CEOs, and they're having board meetings and telling men what to do. Now you look at me strange because we've been so affected by the darkness.
That's right.
We've been conditioned by the darkness until we think it's normal. But in God's eyes, that's not normal.
Amen.
A woman is supposed to be a chaste keeper of the home, the Bible says.
Amen.
She's got the sacred virtues of motherhood.
Amen.
She's supposed to be feminine. She's not supposed to be dressing in some pantsuit, man's clothing, and getting herself in a boardroom and telling men what to do.
Amen.
That's gross darkness.
Amen.
That's why I love the message.
Hallelujah.
The message will keep us sane.
Amen.
And as world continues to grow more and more
sin,
God will keep us in the mind of Christ.
Amen.
As long as we'll keep listening to Haggai.
Amen.
Amen.
And not looking at other examples and not looking at what the media has to say.
So, amen.
Friends, that's all just manifestations of the grace of God. Hollywood and what it's done to the woman might be so much to me. The Bible says women are becoming more like men. And it seems there's no way to stop it. I crossed the nation preaching against the thing. Come back, Nick, it's worse than when I started. Them people want to do right, but there's something about it that won't let them do right. It just presses down on them, forces them to lie. You find someone at school, and he's maybe 11, 12 years old. And he starts to feel a little bit of a desire as a boy to be a girl. Instead of in days gone by, when his mom and dad would have sat down with him and said, son, shake yourself out of that thing.
Amen.
You're a boy. You're born a boy. God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
What do they do now? Send him for counseling. To encourage him now to yield to that darkness.
Amen.
And instead of telling them, take a stand, put on the whole armor. Fight against this thing. This thing wants to destroy you. This thing wants to take you to hell. This thing wants to pervert you from what God made you.
Mm.
It's normal. If you want to be a boy today, girl tomorrow, it's okay. Whichever toilet you want to use, choose yourself. Friends, it's gross dark.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Is it right?
No.
Bring someone from 100 years ago and bring them here. They'll go. They'll be looking for the first way out.
Amen.
They'll say, I've fallen into hell and I didn't realize it.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
And instead of society fighting against the darkness,
amen.
It calls evil good and good evil. And woe unto that generation of
Bible
that calls evil good and calls good evil.
Amen. That's right.
It will be the end of that generation, I tell you. There'll be the burning of Sodom.
That's right.
That's what will come at the end of a generation like that.
Amen.
It's a serious day in the world.
But
the prophet showed us what the darkness is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to turn the boys into sissies. And it's going to turn the girls into either vessels of seduction. Or make them like men. And when you now try to dress your children right, let them be feminine, let them be boys and girls, and they become oddballs in society. They become the oddballs. And when you young people go to school and you're trying to live a godly life, and then they have their what week, what is what, the other week with Savior, they have school. All these gender issues. Condemning the people. Just saying, let's not fall into the same trap.
Amen.
Let's not allow that darkness to encroach in. There must be blood in the door. Let's keep the firewall with the latest protocols ever there to keep these things, because you're going to need it more and more.
Amen.
The prophecies are just presses down. He says it's like a heavy dark fog over the whole earth. Not only in Phoenix, but over the whole world. There seems to be just a grouping darkness. Gathering. Getting more dense and dense all the time. And what is it doing? Just smothering out real manhood.
Mm.
Can you see what Satan's right from the beginning, where he's aimed his attack? To produce his Eden. He wants to destroy man. He wants to pervert manhood. He wants to pervert womanhood. He wants to pervert parenthood. The very basics that God set as the protection. The family. Look at his attack on the family. Through legislation, through all of these things. My friend, are we suffering in our church because of that?
That's right.
You find it when you want your wife to stay at home, see how they penalize you. And you say, no, I don't want my wife to work. My friend, you'll have a hard time with your finances. They try to encourage the woman into the workforce. And if women don't work, so much pressure is put on them by the system. Friends, it's darkness.
That's right.
It's darkness. Resist it as much as you possibly can.
Amen.
Yeah.
Smothering out real manhood and real womanhood and talking in the natural sense.
Amen.
Yeah. And then it seems like it's coming more and more into the churches. And now there's the smoke and the lights, the Christian rock. Yeah, they come on stage with their long hair, which is an abomination for me. Before God from man.
Amen.
And the women are standing there, the song worship leaders, cut off their hair, wearing men's clothing, standing in front of thousands of people in the mega churches. And the lights, heavy metal music. The prophet says the darkness is in the churches. They didn't have a firewall.
That's right.
They didn't recognize how important Haggai was. They didn't know. They've got some of their own understanding of how they can please the king like those other virgins. Painting themselves up and all the things which all those other virgins did. And when they came in before the king would look at some and say, next. And soon it's past.
Amen.
Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
We only have one chance of getting this right, friends.
Amen.
Let's make sure we get it right.
Amen.
You only have
Amen.
Such a window of opportunity with your children.
That's right.
Before they pass on out of your hands, make sure there's the token there.
Amen.
That's right.
Make sure there's the right influence
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Because of this thing that we're in. The prophet says it's coming more and more to the churches. Then you raise up and say something against it, and they condemn you for doing it. Just speak a little bit about some people's music and see how people aren't happy about you speaking about their music. It shouldn't be like that.
That's right.
I just say to anybody who's not happy with what you said about music, go and read the message.
That's right.
Amen.
Go and do what I did. Go and search for every quote on music or singing and read every quote the prophet said.
Amen.
And you come and tell me that kind of music many people listen to are going to be able to be compatible with those quotes.
No.
You're reading a different message than me.
Amen.
Amen.
You're reading a different message than
yes.
you. The prophet told us about music. He warned us about certain types of music.
Amen.
It's clear, friends.
Amen.
And some people think they're no better than him now.
Mm.
And then you wonder now, you might be, like I say, strong enough to listen to some of that music, but what about your children?
Amen. Mm.
What about your children? They don't have the guiding them yet. And all you're doing is you're getting them used to a kind of music that later on you're going to be trying to stop them from listening to.
Amen.
But you're the one who's allowed them to come in.
Yes.
Because you're playing it in the car, you're playing it in the house. And young believers come and they're still untainted by those things and they come and visit you and you put on DC talk. Jars of clay. And go and find out about those people. I did it this week. DC Talk, Jars of Clay, Hillsong, all of them. You know what they say is the greatest influence, one of the greatest influences up to today is up to now. Is the Beatles. They still. Matt Redman, you know the man who wrote, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm sure many people know that song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. Do you know that Matt Redman says, I listened to him this week, he says, the greatest influence in my music has always been the Beatles. He says, I've got five children, and all of them love the Beatles. to listen to my dream again.
That's right.
But I know that this man, he loves the Beatles, which was the one of the greatest manifestations of gross darkness that came in our
day. Amen.
How can a Christian love the Beatles?
Amen.
How can a man with the right spirit inside of him love that kind of music? And you find all of them.
Mm.
You ever see their concerts? Go do a bit of research. You find DC Talk, some of these big Christian rock bands, they play some of the Beatles songs in these concerts. They played John Lennon's Imagine, one of the most satanic songs for one of the most satanic people that ever lived. And they played those kinds of songs in their concerts. Friends, when I find that, out the door.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never again. How can a man bring forth evil like that and you expect that source, that fountain is drinking from, is pure? Friends, a good tree cannot bring forth evil for a
time. Amen.
And an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. I think we really need a discernment.
Amen.
The prophets warned us about this.
Amen.
Let's be careful about it. Now that we stop people saying amen, we'll continue.
Amen.
The prophet says sometimes women misunderstand it. Man misunderstand it. They take the wrong attitude. He says, and it looks like the time is. You can't see that real stand out like men ought to. Now that's something that's genuine. Taking it back from the spiritual out to the natural, it seemed to me that men wearing velvet pink shoes, our fashions, friends, are a reflection. All kinds of things like that. It just seems like they've become more like women. Women smoking cigarettes. Now they've got cigars. And they cut their hair like man, and it seems like the dainty, lady, feminist something is gone. And the real masculine man is gone. Then he shows what comes from. It's like it wasn't the beginning. Every thought in a man's heart continually evil. Our programs, our television, our radio is uncensored. And can say anything nearly they want. It seems like gross darkness covers the whole thing. The whole thing seems bad. And for years, I've been trying to hold a standard, God's word. And I'm more determined this coming year to hold that standard than I ever was in my life.
Amen.
And when I read that, I said, yes, that's got to be our attitude coming.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's be more determined than ever, friends, on these things, this standard. Let's make sure that everything we have, everything we do, let's take it through the thinking man's filter.
Amen.
Let's take it through the spiritual filter and make sure that it comes out on the other side.
Amen.
It's a very important thing. Now, speaking about being effeminate, I just wanted to speak about hair. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just to get a scripture. So the prophet's warning us about it. This grows down. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's read from verse 13. It says, judge in yourselves. Is it come that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Like you say, Satan, uncovers people. That's what he wants to do. Is it come, is it right, acceptable, that a woman pray to God uncovered? Verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you? You don't even need the word. Just your own conscience inside of you. That if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. It's a shame. Verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to him. For her hair is given her for a covering.
Amen.
So he's already told us it's not right for a woman to pray with an uncovered head. And now he's showing us what the cover is. It's her head. You know that. Verse 16. If anyone wants to be contentious about this,
Paul has the same problem as anybody.
Amen.
If anybody wants to argue, if anybody wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice nor do the churches of God. Is he's not left it open to negotiation. He says, friends, we don't even need to come and don't give me any questions about this. This is clear. We don't allow these things in God's house, neither to any of the other churches of God.
Amen.
Now let's think about this one of hair then, when it's speaking about hair. I just read this in an article somebody sent me about hair historically in the United States. It says for 2,000 years, Christian women abstained from cutting their hair. For 2,000 years, Christian women wouldn't cut their hair. Short hair became fashionable with the victory of the women's movement in achieving the right to vote for women. Exactly. I'll read you the quote. I actually wrote it here from the Seven Visions, Condemnation by Representation. Page 5, paragraph 2. And this is what the Lord said to the prophet in the visions. He said, an evil thing has been done in this country. They've permitted women to vote. This is a woman's nation, and she will pollute this nation as Eve did. So, where did Satan focus his attack?
Was it on the man or the woman?
He knew to get to the man, focus on the woman.
Yes.
Amen.
If you're going to attack the woman, get the woman to fall, she's going to pull the man down with her.
Amen.
And that's what Satan's done in our age. So he set his attack through Hollywood. Who won? Now it's attacking masculinity, yes, as well. But it never started like that. It started with a woman. It started with the film stars and so forth. In the Church Age book, page 322, he says, when he saw now this woman dressed with just like a fig leaf at the end of the vision, he says, this speaks of the moral problem of our age, centering around the woman. She was given permission to vote. Then she cut off her hair because she wanted equal rights. He says, and the last thing I saw her clothed in a transparent garment with just fig leaves covering those three areas of her body. You can see what's getting to this weekend. In the United States, women traditionally allowed their hair to grow naturally long, but this drastically changed by 1920. Hollywood.
That's right.
There's Hollywood again. Amen. The prophet says Hollywood robbing the sacred virtues of our woman. Probably the greatest change in women's hair modes came in the early 1900s when hair was bobbed. Cut off short. What does the prophet cry out against all the time? Bobbed haired woman. Friend, because when Jezebel's on the scene, you've got to have Elijah crying out against Jezebel.
Hallelujah.
But the sad thing when Elijah was there crying out against Jezebel and her fashions and the things that she was doing, even among Israel, there was only 7,000 who listened to Elijah. There weren't a lot of people who listened to Elijah. The most of the people just gave in and conformed to the standards that were taking place at that time. By 1920, short hair had become the dominant fashion. About this time also, the hairstyles worn by popular motion picture stars in Hollywood began to start trends in women's hairstyles.
Amen.
And by the end of World War I, a short haircut for women called the bob was considered scandalous. Women all over the world quickly adopted the styles and colors of Hollywood actresses.
That's right.
Where did this influence come from? But now we grow up and everybody just thinks it's normal. That's why when we don't cut our girls' hair, it's strange for people in school. Why don't you cut people's hair? Are you some kind of a cult or what are you? No, this is the original standard.
Amen.
At the same time, men wore their hair much shorter than women. This continued until the 60s. Yes. Who came in the 60s? The Beatles.
That's right.
So that was great. That was the start of men now growing their hair. Was when the Beatles came. Mm. When rebellious young men dared to break with convention, allowing the hair to grow longer than before. It was the singing group, the Beatles, that repopularized longer hair for the first time in many decades with their bowl haircuts. Ah, the prophets is they were born in hell. Paradoxically, about the same time, of the Beatles, many girls began to allow their hair to grow longer than their mothers do. So even the women were influenced by the Beatles to start growing their hair long again. And for the first time now, before, the old mothers used to have long hair, and their daughters with the new fashions had short hair. Now it's starting to change. Now all the older women have the short hair, and now the younger women are allowing it to grow. And the prophet says, it's a gross darkness. That's exactly the time he preached Shalom. And said, this is a gross darkness upon the people. And through the influence of Vogue magazine from 1892, Mademoiselle magazine 1935, and Glamour 1939, women were very concerned about their hairstyles and fashions in particular. That's where the influence came. Now, let's read one scripture, Deuteronomy 22, just to show.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 22, just to explain this one a little bit better, because it was a very good question the other day that somebody asked. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. You know the scripture well. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto her.
Amen.
Because people always say, but there's woman's slacks. There's woman's dresses. They're made and fashioned for women. That's why the Lord made it clear to say, a woman mustn't wear a garment that pertains to a man.
Amen.
If a garment is associated, there's garments that are associated with masculinity, overalls and all that kind of thing. And there's garments that are that pertain to women. I'll give you this example. If you say now, there's nothing wrong with a woman wearing pants, yeah? Wearing trousers. It's normal. Let me ask you a question. Is it right for a man to wear a dress? It's a simple question. Every person will say, no, a man shouldn't wear a dress. But it's exactly the same thing.
That's right.
Even if that dress has been made for a man, by Coco Chanel, or Pierre Cardin, what difference does it make that it was made for a man? It's a garment that pertains to a woman.
That's right.
Amen.
All through history, men and women wore different garments. Even their robes were different, if you understand. How could God say, a woman mustn't wear a man's garment, a man wants to wear a woman's, if their garments were exactly the same? People say, but they wore robes in the days of Jesus. Yes, but a man and a woman in Israel. And we took photos of it. Brother George put on a man's robe, and Sister Christina that we were with, she put on a woman's robe when he went to Nazareth, and they had the robes there. They were different. God always wanted to make a man different than a woman different than a man, making a separation.
Amen.
It's only with the gross darkness of the 60s that unisex has come. Mm. At the same time when there's the rise of feminism, when women now they want to be in charge of everything, you find at the same time now, they start to change. That's why it says, which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Why is this an abomination? Because a woman, when she's doing that, she's taking the role of a man. For her to want to put on a man's clothes means she's wanting to leave her femininity. She's wanting to leave what God naturally made her as. She's wanting to go into the male domain. And for a man to want to put on his pink velvet shoes, and these kind of grow his hair long, they put on, like the prophet says, these blousy shirts with the frills and all of that on them. That shows he's coming out of the domain of masculinity. He's wanting to cross across, which is a perversion, to come into the realm of femininity.
Amen.
And God's saying, no, for a man to want to be feminine is wrong.
Amen.
And for a woman to want to be masculine is wrong.
Amen. Right.
And dress, fashion, hair are just symptoms of it.
Yes.
But the real problems deeper than that inside of them.
Amen.
Fallen nature of people and this gross darkness where Satan's come to pervert it. He's trying to push man to become like woman and push woman to become like man and
Amen.
Pervert the whole thing. Now, the scripture we want to read is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Now that we've ascertained that. Because Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We always have people ask those kind of questions. Like people say, where's homosexuality in the New Testament? It's here in 6 verse 9. This is what he says. Paul says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. And look at the next one. Nor effeminate. The effeminate. When a man wants to be like a girl, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's right.
That's a perversion.
Yes.
A man is a man, a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl, a woman is a woman.
Amen.
The Bible says the effeminate shall not enter the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, effeminacy is a sin against God.
Amen.
It's a sin against God to be effeminate. So when that spirit of effeminacy wants to come and you fight against it,
Amen.
That's darkness. It wants to take you down into the regions of darkness.
That's right.
Don't let your friends put their arm around you. No, there's nothing wrong with it. It is wrong.
Amen.
The Bible
Amen.
Says it's wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not right.
Amen.
Effeminacy is not right. I never wanted someone to be effeminate as a man. Effeminacy is for women. God made them like that. To raise your children. To be the soft one, the comforting one. Not to be the boss. Effeminacy. A serious sin. No, that's why God said to Adam in the beginning, where did he go wrong? He listened to the voice of his wife. That was the very first issue that God had with Adam. Says, because you listened to the voice of your wife. You're the man. You're the leader. How did you allow her to do this? How did you allow her to influence in this kind of a way? Effeminacy. If you go and see the meaning of the word effeminate, it's in the Bible. Effeminacy in the Greek is a young man who submits his body to unnatural means, unnatural perversion. But see how it said, who submits his body to unnatural means? You have to submit yourself.
That's right.
And friends, this age is trying to press in on these things.
Amen.
Press down upon the young people in these things. It means this refers to men who have feminine traits to an inappropriate degree. You can see someone with a spirit of effeminacy.
Yes.
Look at the way they walk.
Amen.
It's true.
That's right. Amen.
Look at the way they walk. Look at the way they talk. There's a commonality in every one of them.
Amen.
It's a spirit.
Amen.
It's gross darkness. It's gross darkness. It's the end time.
That's right.
Pressing it upon the people.
Amen.
And like the prophet says, many of them are good people.
Yeah.
He says they would serve God if they knew how to serve Him. He says they're just as much in a prison house as Israel was in Egypt, and they need someone to come and bring them a word of deliverance.
Yes. Amen.
That's what he says. In a prison house. To be effeminate means lacking in manly strength or aggressiveness. You might be a quiet sort of a guy, that's okay. But friends, surely there comes a certain point when you show who you really are.
That's right.
You know, if you've got children, yeah, you can be patient, but there's got to come an end of patience.
Amen.
There's got to come a time to say, shut up and sit down.
Amen.
Children. See, right. If you don't stop doing that, you and I are going to go to have a serious time of communion. Whichever way you want to say it. But there's got to be that expression of masculinity. God put a husband and a wife in a home because Children need both expressions in their lives, in their formation to become healthy individuals. They need the masculinity, they need the femininity. And friends, Satan so much fights against that. Lacking in manly strength or aggressiveness, especially marked with weakness, softness, and love of ease. That's our generation. If you take this generation young people and put them in the army, 75% of them will die on the first day.
That's right.
75% of them will die on the first day.
Amen.
Just when that sergeant major comes and says, I am your mother, I am your father, I am your Auntie Nancy, whatever they say. I tell you when you get up. I tell you when you eat. I tell you when you sleep. I tell you what to wear. Is that understood? All of this generation will be like wilting flowers.
Amen.
No, friends, it's not natural. It's not good. It's not healthy for society.
That's right.
Society needs man to be man. There's construction jobs, there's farming jobs, heavy industry, leadership roles. That's what God wants the man to do.
Amen.
Then there's women. They're good as nurses. They're good as, you know, looking after young children. Those kind of things.
Amen.
God made them like that. We need that balance. To be effeminate means to be excessively affected in your emotions. And that answer was by the great rooster.
Amen.
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 You
see how they behave like that?
Amen.
Don't you like it when you say to a young person, just, that's right, it's hard, but let me give it a go.
That's right.
Like
Amen.
That. I'll pray and I'll ask God to help me.
Amen.
Amen. Generation growing up like that. But the scripture's not finished. Look, it says, who else doesn't go to heaven? What's the next one? The effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Amen.
It's called abusing yourself.
Amen.
The Bible says, have such a shame as you can. Remember the prophet met that young man? And the gross darkness had pressed in upon him. And he had been doing those acts with those young boys. Yeah, and yet he was married to a nice Christian wife. And he had Christian children. And he tried to commit suicide because of the complex that he had. And they brought him to the prophet's meetings, and the prophet was singing there whichever song that it was. And then right in the middle of the song, you can hear it on the tape.
Amen.
It was in Creek, I think it was.
That's right.
And it says, you not commit suicide, soldier boy. You go home and be a gentleman and be a real man.
Amen.
And then he continues singing. And this head busker is looking around saying, who's he speaking to? And then the next day they're driving up the Alaska Highway. They're going out to hunt. Miles and miles away from the meeting. They get into the cafe. They get there to have some food before they go to Brother Bud Southwick's house. And while they're sitting there eating, Brother Busker, the prophet, and I think Brother Chris Berg, the door opens and in comes a soldier boy. And his face, you can tell he's been under extreme pressure, tension. And he's got a shorter man with him. And the shorter man comes up and says, Brother Branham. Yeah? And comes and shakes Brother Branham's hand. That's it. We've been searching for you. Yeah? And then the tall man says, yes, it's amazing. This man believed we'd meet you today. It was impossible. It was immediately a step for them to find about God led
them. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then the shorter man says, Brother Branham, would you pray for me? And the prophet taken aback doesn't know what to do. And he says, okay, let's finish our soup. And they go and sit on their table. And then the prophet says to Brother Busker, says, Brother, at least God hopes that he wins. Perhaps this is the end of it. And then they finish their meal, they're about to walk out, and they come up and they tell him the soldier boy comes to the prophet and says, just one more. And the And the prophet takes him down to the end of the sabbath. And the other man standing out, Brother Bisco and the rest of them, saying, "You don't understand what it is. You're such a nice Christian man, as a Christian family. And he's tried to commit suicide 3 times. And the army doctors committed him to my hands to take him out to the prophet's meetings." The physicist is watching. This is me. I saw the Lord taking his hat. He says, "I saw him putting it back on his hat and being prayed." And he says, "And that young man started walking down the sidewalk." He said, "You could see the whole state, the demeanor on the man's face." And he put his hand in the air and he said, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." He says, everybody could tell that he was free. And then he came and they left and they started driving. They go down to the south, the soldier boy and his friend. The prophet, them were heading up north. And the prophet says, "You think you'll ever meet that young man?" "Normally I'd never tell these things, but let me tell you what was happening." He says, "That young man was committing homosexual acts with young girls." But when that was exposed, he was saved. And Brother Scott says, "It's the only time I ever really saw it." If you've got something genuine inside of you, if your soul leans towards the original, if there's an original life inside of you and you have fellowship with the original Christ and you love to feed on the original word, our friend's one of the most privileged people.
Amen.
You're one of the most privileged people. And if Brother Greg was here, we'd speak about it because he couldn't come because of the smoke. But that really, really shows the need for evangelism. It really shows it. Because there's people, genuine, sincere people. People that are in bondage down there in Egypt. People that are under these cruel taskmasters. The devil is a cruel taskmaster. And he's pressing people to do this and pressing people to do that. And many times inside of themselves, maybe like that young man, they say, "I don't want to live this kind of a life."
It's true.
Go to Hollywood and see how many suicides they have. See why they live in a drug-induced condition most of their lives. Because you can't do those things against nature. You can't live those kind of a life and it not affect you in the constitution that God gave you.
Amen.
You can't fight against that which is right and yield yourself to the darkness and not have all of these side effects inside of your life. So they try to drown it in alcohol. They try to take all of these drugs and do all of these things. But friends, Jesus said, "You are the truth. And the truth shall be free."
Amen.
Amen.
"He who the Son has set free is free indeed." That's why, let's flee to the cross.
Amen.
If you're a young person and you feel something trying to pull you in the wrong direction, you feel an influence among your friends to try to get you to involve yourself in things that the Bible says no, I would say to you, flee to the cross.
Amen.
Flee to the cross. Don't yield yourself. The Bible says, don't yield your vessel as an instrument of unrighteousness, but yield yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Yield yourself so that He can clothe you now with His great spiritual clothing. He'll put on the garments of salvation. He'll quicken you and give you power now to become a son or daughter of God. And then you can start marching step by step with Him in line with the word of the age. Marching, marching, marching until we take our flight.
Amen.
Friends, that's why God sent us the message of that. Let's be like Esther.
Amen.
Let inside of ourselves, let's have that submissive spirit. That sensitive spirit to the leadership of the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's give ourselves over to Him.
Amen.
And when the word comes, let's search it out. Like the Bereans. See if those things are so. When you find the prophet says something, go and search it out, my friend. I've never yet found one teaching that the prophet taught that when I searched it out, it didn't open up into something so powerful to confirm it. When the prophet spoke of the pyramid, people, they said, Branham was involved in the occult teaching the pyramid. Then you go and find that the very first people who went and measured the pyramid in Egypt were Christians. 150 years ago, and they were the ones who first came and spoke about the gospel in the pyramid. And then the prophet just came and he gleaned that truth, built on it, and brought the revelation of the headstone coming to the pyramid. The zodiac. Yeah. Not the horoscope, but the genuine stars, the constellations of the heavens. That's God's first Bible.
Amen.
Starting with the Virgin Virgo, finishing with Leo the Lion. Mm. Now that's the first coming, the second coming of Christ. You will find the whole gospel in
the
stars. Now Satan perverted the whole thing, but the prophet speaks, but they say he's into astrology. He's not into astrology.
Nope.
Search it out. Amen. These things are so. And you'll find it opens up into a great vein of truth.
Mm. Amen.
He's giving you the key to open up something. It'll open itself up into a powerful revelation. So when the prophet spoke about women wearing men's clothing, friend, it wasn't the prophet who started this.
That's right.
It's always been like that.
Amen.
But there was a darkness came upon the church.
That's right.
And God says, I will restore, says the Lord.
Amen.
And you find women cutting their hair and looking at us as if we're strange, saying women shouldn't cut their hair.
Mm.
It's not the prophet who started that.
No.
For 2,000 years, women wouldn't cut their hair.
Amen.
That's only in our age, with the advent of Hollywood, things started to get stripped away from the woman.
Mm.
And the prophet had to come and cry out against those
Amen.
Things. To say, don't you realize your spiritual inheritance, your spiritual heritage?
Mm.
And then you find people started to lie.
Mm.
My friends, it's never going to get popular. But we're not in this team.
That's right.
We want to get to the end of this race. Like that man I sent that trip the other day. He says, I want to get to Jesus one day, and he says, well done. Have good in faith.
Amen.
He says, but to get there, I'm going to stop. Mm-hmm. So how am I going to live my life? What am I going to focus on? What am I going to do between now and then to make sure I get that result?
Mm.
I can't wait until then. I'm going to start now. And friends, let's start looking inside of him now.
Amen.
As we come to the end of the year, like the prophets, let's determine in ourselves in this new year that we'll raise that standard of truth ever higher than has been raised before. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, we need God to raise that standard. Let's
do it.
Let's come to the time of worship and then the time of prayer. And friends, we should always pray for our children.
Mm.
That's a really important. Pray for our young people. We've got precious young people. That the Lord will really help them to be clothed in the right spiritual armor in this age. Because the battle is fierce. The atmosphere is thick.
Amen.
The battlefield. It needs the
Christ. Amen.
Let's sing that one. Am I a soldier of the Christ?
Mm.
And should I fear to own his court or brush his feet? When the battle is over, we shall.
Oh,
every moment of the prophets. Jesus died for the sins of the world. But do not be a partaker of his sin. That's the key. Let's keep our garments undefiled.
Amen.
Let's keep our garments unspotted by the things of this world. Because friends, there's a day coming when we're going to stand before you. And when the battle's over, don't you want to wear a crown? Don't you want to wear a soul when it's given? You may not be called to wear a martyr's crown, but there's crowns to them that have striven, crowns to them that have given. God is not unmindful to forget your labor of love.
Amen.
And even a glass of water given in the feet of the disciple will not lose its reward. Let's keep our eyes on the master, friends. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's not turn to the left. Let's not turn to the right. Let's keep walking step by step. Maybe you will decide, why don't speak to him before we go from here? Let's raise up our voice. Let's pray for you. And you marry one church. Let's pray for them that couldn't make you today. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's come to God.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Calling Jesus.
I believe. that's trying to press down. He's trying to press you to be something that God doesn't want you to be. Or to do something that God doesn't want you to be.
Amen.
And you're looking at me, fearing what you're saying. This is tempting. This is difficult. This is pressing it on. Now you want to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I'm looking to you.
Amen.
Because you came to preach deliverance to me. You came to preach the year of Jubilee. And Jesus, I'm asking you to deliver me from this darkness. Break this fetter. Break this chain. Help me, Lord. Set me free. Let's raise your hands to the Lord as we pray. And we'll unite together.
Amen.
Amen.
Because darkness has no dominion among the children of light.
That's right.
Darkness has no place in this place. Heavenly Father, we come unto thee at this time.
Amen.
Realizing, Lord, that it's not flesh and blood that you are dealing with, Lord, but it's these powers and these principalities, Lord. This king of Sodom in this age, Father, the same one who came to Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. Oh, Jesus, the good thing, Abraham, the first had communion with him.
Amen.
And Father, you have given the Lord the armor that he needed. And Father, I pray the same upon this day.
Amen.
Father, the answer to darkness is the entrance of light. Father, the answer, Lord, to our own weaknesses for you to come into your strength. So, Father, every situation that you do there, when darkness is what you press it to the lives of your people, Father, we just unite ourselves together, Lord, as the children of light.
Amen.
Just put on that armor of light, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
we drive that darkness back.
Amen.
Father, we know the entrance of your word. Give it light. Oh, Father, we thank you for the light in the evening time.
Amen.
And Father, may the light ever grow deeper, Lord. May it ever have more and more of an effect inside of us.
Please, Lord.
Even as you said, to arise and to shine.
Yes.
Because your light has come.
Amen.
So help us as we finish up this year, Lord. And as we enter by your grace into another year, that Father, you would help us ever to lift up the banner and the standard.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
That you may hold the truth in love.
Yes.
That, Lord, you may go forth clothed in you.
Amen.
That you help us, Lord, to do your will, we pray.
Yes, Lord.
Father, sing souls that are bound in darkness, Lord. Souls that are imprisoned in our hearts.
Yes.
Father, sing all these things round and about, Lord. We pray for this city.
Amen.
We pray for these people. We pray for this neighborhood.
Father,
amen. We just ask of you for your grace.
Yes.
For the entrance of your grace.
Amen.
Father, we pray that you lead us and guide us, Lord, and inspire us and show us the way.
Amen.
Amen.
And lead us in the way that you'd have us to go.
Amen.
And in the places that you'd have us to go.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you've given us the equipment, Lord. You've given us the commission.
Amen.
You've given us the desire. So we just seek for your leadership, Lord, that you would send us. May you bless your people. I pray for Brother George in London. I pray your blessing this weekend, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Bring him safely back. Brother Voldas, Lord, I pray your bless and prosper, Lord, his journey, Lord, to Slovakia. Be with him, bring him back, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Sister Drew, with the family, bless them. Father, as they go for their holiday, bless them. May it be a blessed time.
Amen.
And Father, Brother Vladimir and his family, bless them with rich blessings.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
May there be light in the evening time in the places that you have sent. As you go from this place, may we depart with your blessing.
Please.
Father, the snow on the roads and the ice, keep us safe. Bring us safe.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch over us, Lord, we pray as we go from this place, Lord. Let the heaven come, Lord, bring your grace upon them. Upon this
day. Amen.
And Father, you will be with them in a special way. Father, bless this week that lays before.
Amen.
Help our young people. Help our children, Lord, I pray.
Amen.
Help us as parents, Lord. Help us as brothers and help us as sisters.
Amen.
Lord, to be brothers and sisters indeed.
Amen.
In this kind of a time. Bless us as we do. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Just one announcement, saints. Can we ask all musicians, trustees, deacons to remain just for about 5 minutes after church? Okay.